Welcome to Modern Practice. I'm your host, Dr. Tom Villanueva. And on this episode, we continue the discussion with Dr. Dave Munch and Brad Schultz on achieving high reliability in healthcare. So let's get right to it. Could you share the principles of highly reliable organizations?
There's a few models out there. The model that we think is probably the most appropriate are Kathleen Sutcliffe and Carl Weick's model, as they describe it in their book, Managing the Unexpected. These two professors at University of Michigan and have done extraordinary work in finding out what are the commonalities amongst highly reliable organizations. And there are five of them. The first one is highly reliable organizations are preoccupied with failure. And as we've talked about it, you have to recognize the failure, surface them quickly, act upon them quickly, and solve them to root cause versus workarounds. The second principle is that of reluctance to simplify, or I might say reluctance to oversimplify. We have a saying, every problem has a simple solution that's wrong. And we do that all the time, putting in a premature solution when we fundamentally haven't taken the time to understand the actual problem that we have. So success with respect to problem solving is to not treat it too simply, not to put a premature solution into place. Take the time to understand the problem you actually have and what are the consequences upstream and downstream, how often it occurs, how deeply in the organization does it occur, why it occurs. If you do enough effort up front to understand the problem, you're much more likely to come up with the right solution. The third principle is that of sensitivity to operations, which I've already described with respect to knowing what's going on in your organization right now and to be able to respond immediately when you see opportunity or defect. The fourth principle is the principle of resilience. And boy, this is something that we are definitely in need of and experiencing these days with the COVID-19 crisis that we have. A commitment to resilience means the ability to respond to unplanned events. And so your disaster plans and being innovative in the face of changes is critically important. And there are many organizations who've demonstrated how they've done this with COVID, and there's been some wonderful results as a result. But resilience also means the resilience of the caregiver. So we have to care about the emotional and physical well-being of the caregivers providing care in these environments. And these days, that is quite a challenge, but we have to make sure we extend ourselves and make sure everybody is feeling supported in the work we're doing and the challenges that we face. The fifth of the principles is that of deference to expertise. And I've commented on this a bit, and that is the principle of the closer you are to the frontline, the more expertise you have. And so engaging frontline staff in surfacing problems, solving problems, participating on quality improvement efforts is critically important.
You know, highly reliable healthcare delivery systems understand that safety and harm-related events can appear almost out of nowhere. And that's normally because they're not the result of a single factor, but the result of multiple factors in a chain reaction or domino effect. So very high reliable organizations have both a sensitivity to operations and a preoccupation with failure. And if you put that together, that really means knowing normal from abnormal and reacting to it now. I think it's also absolutely important if you're going to build commitment to resilience that we begin to anticipate what these potential failure modes are and put mechanisms in place that prompt the organization to react to them. That also involves deference to expertise, because if you think about that mechanism that's going to drive resilience for leveraging standard work so that we have the right way of doing things, we know normal from abnormal, that's not intended to be a cookie cutter solution, so to speak. That's really normal operations, understanding that things can happen, a chain reaction can start. So when a chain reaction starts, we want to know which domino we can put our finger on to stop the fall and ultimately stop that leading to harm. So we really want to delegate the authority to call a change in play to the person who's in the best position to see it, which may not be an operational leader or a clinical leader. We really want to delegate that authority to the first person that can see it and empower them to set into motion a sequence of events that really stops that last domino from falling. That's really what true sensitivity to operations and true deference to expertise is about. If you expand that deference to expertise and including them in the solution by solving problems as close to their point of occurrence in both space and time. First off, problems aren't solved in a conference room. They're solved where they occur. And if they're not solved as close to their source in both space and time, the probability that we find the true root cause begins to evaporate relatively quickly. And the probability that that phenomenon will cause future harm begins to multiply.
I want to underscore something Brad said. General Douglas MacArthur said, no plan survives execution. So you need to be able to, when a problem occurs or when some unanticipated event occurs, this is where having a true team available immediately to be able to solve problems to root cause in both space and time is critically important. Because unplanned things will occur. They'll occur on a daily basis. And having the ability to call upon your team immediately and to solve the problem immediately in space and time is critically important.
That makes sense to me. So Brad, in the last episode, we talked a little about how to achieve it in the front lines. Can you give us an example?
So again, for frontline employees, I think the challenge doesn't lie so much with them as with what the leadership has enabled them to do. So first and foremost, we want to codify the best way of doing work. We refer to that from an industrial engineering perspective as standard work. And we want to work with the frontline leaders to drive disciplined adherence to process. But we also want to be flexible enough to understand that the abnormal can come out of nowhere at almost any time. And when it does, we want to stop at that moment in time, and we want to fix it at a root cause level. Now, this seems pretty daunting, and it can be, especially if there's high rates of internal failure. What I mean when I say internal failure is a process failed that didn't impact the patient yet. Patient didn't see it, but the delivery team saw it. And in most cases, we're working around those kind of issues. And the idea is if we stop and solve them at a root cause level, we don't have to work around them tomorrow. With that in mind, it can be a daunting effort to initiate, but it pays huge dividends further down the line to take that approach. In addition, as I said earlier, the idea of being able to delegate the authority to frontline employees, one, to stop the train, two, to make an adjustment in the way we operate based on a perceived change in condition. Those are some critical factors in creating that resilience, creating that sensitivity to operations, and preventing failure through deference to expertise.
Dave, can you give us an example of an organization that used high reliability principles?
Absolutely. We did work with Northwestern Hospital, and they brought in some people to learn some of these principles and how they involved the management systems in these. And they decided to take on hospital-acquired pressure injuries because that's something that they were having some struggles with. And what they did is they, first of all, developed clear standard work as to what needed to occur. And that included four eyes on the patient at admission and shift change. And then they also put into place systems to make sure there was disciplined adherence to the standard work. And so they assured that all at-risk patients had adequate assessment of their skin on a regular enough basis to make sure that the pressure injuries didn't occur. And they also were able to recognize if the assessment didn't occur, that they had a response to correct it immediately. With that system in place, they were able to eliminate pressure ulcers, I think, we're now going on approximately 90 days and running, but it's been quite a success. Brad, I'm sure you have some examples as well. What do you have?
Well, I think Nebraska Medicine is a great example of an organization that's leveraged high reliability principles in improving their care. Nebraska Medicine is a subscriber to Vizient's clinical database. This is a benchmarking application that many academic medical centers use for comparative analysis. Their standings within the Q&A scores have improved to number 15 overall in the past year. And among academic medical centers, their mortality position improved to number 16 and their safety position to number 11, which were both substantial increases in the past year. Another good example is New Hanover Regional Medical Center in Wilmington, North Carolina. Their high reliability journey really began as a patient experience journey and then kind of transitioned into operations improvement and then high reliability. And if you look at their scores on just about any dimension of care compared to Carolina's market, they're standing in a very good position.
Let me add another success story from New Hanover Health Systems to tag on to what Brad was saying. One problem was employee turnover. They decided to take on some employee type of benefits, and they did what we talked about. They understood the problems they were having. They interviewed a lot of people exiting. They looked at the environment of work, and they were able to apply these principles. And they were, over the course of approximately 2 years' time, able to reduce their employee turnover by 50%. And so these principles apply not only for the patients, but also for the caregivers and for the organization itself.
That's very impressive. Gentlemen, any final thoughts?
I'll start off. I'm sort of pleading with you all to take this work on. This is quite important. The patients and their families will appreciate the efforts we put into reliable, safe care. So thank you for your time around this. It's been an honor to talk with you.
Thanks. How about you, Brad?
I just want to say thank you so much for the opportunity to participate in this. It's been a great experience for me. I'd encourage those organizations that have started that high reliability journey to not get frustrated with it. There's light at the end of the tunnel, and if you're pursuing the right things, you're going to get results.
David, Brad, we've reached the end of this discussion. Thanks for taking the time for joining us today in these past two episodes. I appreciate your insights. And to our listeners, please join us for other Modern Practice podcasts on the Vizient Medical Leadership Channel. Subscribe today, like us, or send us your comments. And also please listen and subscribe to SG2 Perspectives, the podcast on the latest in healthcare strategy. I'm Dr. Tom Villanueva. Thanks for listening.